I'd like to thank you for your kind welcome this morning and also for the invitation to take these three Sundays together. Last year, you remember that we spent several times around the Word of God on the book of Nehemiah. And I believe that this has meant something to some of you, that we have seen something of God's dealings with us reflected in his dealings with Nehemiah. When I was asked to take these services, I was a little puzzled as to what kind of line to take. But in the end, I felt that we might do well to look at the letters to the seven churches, at least to five of them. For next Sunday morning will obviously be for the children. But we should look at the letters to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. We're going to look this morning at the letter to the church at Ephesus, and this evening the church at Smyrna. Shall we just read together the letter to Ephesus in chapter 2, reading from verse 1. Revelation chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labour, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast laboured and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Come into the book of Revelation, we begin to wonder what we are going to see and what we're going to read and what we're going to understand. Not an easy book, of course, in any way. Some of it, which some people think is in matters of symbol. But however you interpret the symbols, please remember that the truth, if they are symbols, the truth that they represent is at least as graphic and as real as the symbols themselves. There are various ways of interpretation so far as these seven letters are concerned. It's not my concern to cross swords with people on this method of interpretation. Just to mention, there are those who think that these letters were addressed to the seven churches of Asia and to them only in their situation at that time. Well, there's no doubt, of course, that they were so addressed. There are those who think, on the other hand, that instead of being wholly in the past, the interpretation must lie wholly in the future, in the symbolism that so often comes in these pages, in this particular book. There are those also who think about it as these letters as being merely figurative, that they're not intended to be taken literally, but they are figurative in the history of the church. There are others, and Dr. Schofield, you'll find, is one who thinks of these seven letters as delineating the experience and condition of the church in a historical sequence, seeing that the first letter to Ephesus is the church then, and the Smyrna, which comes next, has to do with the church under persecution of Rome, and so on, until you come to the Laodicean church, the seventh church, as the condition of the church universal at the time of the coming of Christ. Now, you can choose which method you wish out of all these. I would not commit myself in saying which one I believe, because I'm not sure, not at all convinced, that it's either or. I quite believe that these are churches. God is speaking to these churches. But as so marvelously God's Spirit works, he is teaching us through what he has to say to them, that the things that these churches experienced and are reflected in these letters are the kind of things that we also meet in our day and generation. That's true in many ways. You know, we are in the age of so many cults in these days. But if we really went back into church history, we would find that the cults that are rife today are very much a reflection of those that attacked the church in the earliest days. For example, you've got Seventh-day Adventism, which is precisely what the church of Galatia faced. You've got the Gnosticism of the later centuries, which was what the Colossians faced. There was muddled teaching about the second coming of Christ, which is rife today. And that's precisely what the Thessalonians were facing. There were disorders in the church and excesses in the church, as they are today. And it was the Corinthian church who were corrected on those kind of things. We turn our minds this morning then to this one of Ephesus, a real church being addressed by the Holy Spirit through the revelation of John. And yet at the same time, we heed the warning that comes at the end. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, in the plural. And God would bid us heed what he says then to our situation now, to all the churches. You'll notice that the churches, as they are addressed, have different messages. And without being concerned about all these other things that I've just mentioned, interpretation and so on, our time would be completely wasted if the Lord was not to show us a message for us today as we read these letters together and study. I'm not pretending to exhaust them. I'm not pretending that I'm going to explain everything. I wouldn't claim to do that in any way. What I do hope is that we can draw out things that are living messages that we can take to ourselves and which will be of glory to God as they are worked out in our lives. The voice of God to us, in other words, speaking through. Each one has a message. There are those which have judgment stated. There are those that have commendation. But let's come first and foremost to Ephesus and notice the Lord's commendation. How he commends this church. There was a great deal to commend. You'll notice, verse 2, I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience. Thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which are apostles, and so on. Many things which are to their credit. And notice at the beginning, of course, that in each case of these letters, there is a part of that first vision in chapter 1. Here it's the vision of Christ standing amongst the churches and holding the stars, the messengers in his right hand. There is a living